korkun kalkı trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Tuni sonsun hukçum dur bu lan. Dağdaş doğdan dur bu da moro da.
Everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me. I'm here with Gerald Harris, one of the best fighters and comedians ever met. Come together. I want to thank our sponsor, DraftKings. Listen, sure, UFC 249 was exciting, but it was just the beginning. All right, this Saturday, UFC 250 is coming off, and it's the start of the June sports calendar with a bang. Fighters are eager to get in the octagon, and DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you in the center of the action with a free shot at $1 million. How cool is that? On your first deposit. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is easy to play. It's really easy. Even I can play it. And I'm not that smart, okay? Just pick six fighters to enter the salary cap, pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. No better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test and to compete for a shot at $1 million. Because nothing makes UFC more exciting than when you actually have skin in the game with DraftKings. And for a limited time, DraftKings is offering both new and existing users a deposit bonus of up to $500. So download the DraftKings app now. Use promo code ROASTED to get a free shot at $1 million. Top prize with your first deposit. That's promo code ROASTED to get a free shot at $1 million with your first deposit only at DraftKings. You need a minimum of $5 deposit required. Deposit bonus requires a 25 times playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. DraftKings.com for details. Definitely check it out. DraftKings. It'll make it so much more fun this week. And we definitely need to have some fun this week. This has been a rough week. So, Gerald Harris, how you doing, man?
Man, I've been better, to be honest, dude. It's a pretty crazy time. When you go from the coronavirus to riots. I mean, we need good news, bro.
With a car accident in between. Like, didn't you, what happened?
A canceled fight and a car accident.
All right, talk to me about, first the car accident, because I saw you post of your car. It was total. It was total. What happened?
I was on a highway, man, and I was getting, going from one highway to another, single lane traffic. There's a car broke down with no lights, no power, nothing. Normally, you put your hazard lights on. Yeah. But the battery completely died, so I couldn't see the car until it was too late. By the time I saw the car, man, all I saw was the taillights. I tried to veer off a little bit and just crashed it, man.
The emergency bubble thing went off. What's it called?
The airbag knocked me out. I hit the steering wheel. I thought I broke my hand, but I pretty much jammed it really bad. I think I messed some tendons up. But my foot's a little messed up, but man, it was pretty bad. It was scary. It knocked me completely out. Like, I didn't know where I was at. So it took me a while to come to. And, people trying to find me, but I was telling them the wrong location. You know, I was like, yeah, I'm here. They're like, dude, you're not there. We're here looking for you. And I was like, oh, man, that's all I remember. So
how long were you out for before people found you?
Not long. When I hit the car, I woke up. After the wreck, I mean, it wasn't like a 2-minute KO. It was like, it was more than a knockdown. I'll tell you that. If it was a fight, I'd have been out. Herb Dean would have jumped in.
So was this harder? Like, was it harder than when Justin Berkman hit you? Because I know Berkman hit you and you were kind of out for a little bit.
It was about even. You know what's funny? When Berkman hit me, he didn't know I was out.
Oh, okay. Oh, gotcha.
Hey, I got a good poker face. I wrote you on Facebook. I said, hey, man, you know you knocked me out, right? He's like, I did. He's like I'm going to tell you. You knocked me out.
Wow. Oh, my God. Well, thank God you're okay. Where were you going to? What were you doing?
I was just going to get something to eat. You know, I went vegan 2 months ago, and I've been having trouble finding quick food. So I was driving around town, and I was like, forget it. I headed home, and, man, it happened, bro. It was scary, you know. And I just lost a good friend. Man, you know my friend Belly Bell, the guy that was a comedian. He passed away. He had a heart attack in his sleep.
I'm sorry about that.
This is like a week after that, though. So it's like – I mean, it's been nothing but bad news, but we keep our head up high, man.
You had a comeback fight again because you every time you fight, you retire.
I just quit retiring.
You're like the Jay-Z of MMA. So because your last fight was against a tough guy, right? UFC vet.
Yeah. Well, Bellator told me to go out and get a quality win. Yeah. The only person you can Google this. there's nobody out. These guys, and I called everybody out. I hit Legacy up. I'm with the Combat Americas. I said, anybody that's a middleweight, you want to fight, I'll do it. You trying to get in the UFC, go through me. And nobody responded except for Eric Spicely. So me and Eric Spicely was like, let's fight. We both trying to get back in the UFC. He was like, cool. And boom, he got took on a last-minute fight.
Oh.
And he got in. So I didn't have any quality wins. So I called out, I forgot his name, Buzinski, Seth Buzinski, who's tough as hell. He don't look like much. His record isn't great, but the dude has some quality wins. Anybody that beats Matt Brown and Neil Magny is not a punk. So, yeah. I mean, the guy has like 15 UFC fights, and I beat him. I had a perfect strategy, minus me getting my nose broke 4 weeks before the fight, and he caught me with a nasty right hand in the third round. So I just dry humped him for about 4 minutes. So
I'm not gonna lie. When I saw you were fighting him, I was like, man, this is a dangerous fight. Like, this is like
I knew it was a dangerous fight, and that's why I took it. The first two rounds was all on. We didn't go to the ground, nothing. I just tagged him up, touch and go. I know how he fights. He wants you to get tired. He wants you to take him down. I didn't take him down on purpose. I know what he does. Then he gets up, wears you down, and beats you. So the third round, he hit me, and we said, if my nose gets broken again, start wrestling. You know? So it worked out. It was a good win. But Bellator kind of left me hanging after that. They're like, oh, the card's full. I'm like, damn. So, you know what's real crazy? If I've spoken to the UFC 3 or 4 times, and every time they're okay with giving me a last-minute fight, but somebody already took it. So I'm really on this crazy mission to take a last-minute UFC fight, and that'll be fun, man.
I gotta say, man, you look great. I mean, I looked at the pictures. You look – how old are you, 41, 42?
I'm 40. I'll be 41 this year. I went vegan. I feel great. I do vegan with a lot of carbs. A lot of people go vegan, they get tired. It's not like keto. I load up on carbs. I love carbs. I eat a lot of bread. I don't care what nobody says. It works for me. I've lost almost 20 pounds. I'm walking around under 200 pounds now. I was walking around about 218. And any wrestler, you know, you're a wrestling coach and a former wrestler. We always wrestle at this weight and shoot up 15, 20 pounds. And I'm just getting too old for that. When it started getting hard for me to cut to 85, I made a lifestyle change, you know, so I did the vegan thing. I'll make 85 in my sleep. My next fight is at 196, and I weigh 199.
Wow. So now you had a fight planned this week or something, or next week, or?
No, it was March 21st, right before the lockdown happened. The lockdown happened on the 14th. So I was 7 days away from my fight.
who are you fighting against?
This guy from Texas. He's I hate to use the word journeyman, but he'll fight anybody. And literally, no. We went through 15 opponents for one local card, and everybody said no. I think it's partially because my last fight, I almost knocked out that Russian. So the first thing they see when they Google my name is me throwing a haymaker. So everybody's like, basically, the risk is not worth the reward with me. I can knock anybody out. I don't care how good you are. So it's like, if you beat them, so what? But if he beat you, like, you're screwed. You know what I mean? So nobody will take the fight.
Now,
so
what's
some
up,
guy,
what's
Abdullah, up Abdullah something.
Huh? Doing Baroni on Twitter.
Man, Baroni, we ain't fighting. Baroni crazy. Baroni's hilarious. I'll be honest with you, man. We talk so much noise, and then we'll inbox each other and laugh about it. So,
okay.
Yeah, it ain't serious, man. We're not disrespectful or anything. I love Baroni. He's a cool dude. If anything, I do some pro wrestling with him. I don't want to fight Baroni by any means at all. I'll roast him a little bit, though. I love roasting the dude. He's hilarious.
Now, we got to talk about the current state of affairs of this world right now. I want to get your take on it. I mean – what I said yesterday was obviously what happened, to George Floyd was awful, like just the worst. I mean, we got to figure the whole police brutality thing is just out of control, and it's terrible. That's awful. It's been going on for too long, way too long.
Yeah.
I support the protesters and the right to protest, that's an American thing, that's awesome. But then there's this like different group of people.
Opportunists, what they are.
Rioters, just people causing fires. And
it's the same people that when there's a hurricane, they loot. When there is a tragedy, they find ways to, I mean, they're opportunists, man. That's the only way to put it.
They seem pretty organized though.
They are, it's really bad now because have you noticed people are dropping off bricks? They're paying people to destroy stuff. Like, it's really bad now. You know, like, And but the good thing is social media is exposing these people. There's a guy in Minneapolis with an umbrella and a ski mask on, yeah. And he was breaking windows and running off. And they were like, "What are you doing? Like, you're not even you're not a part of this." You know what I mean? So
it's like Inspector Gadget showed up about to fly.
Well, you know that people are idiots. People are stupid, and they'll follow him. You see a broken window, and he spray painted. This is a free AutoZone, something like that. If you watch the video closely, he spray painted on the door. This is free AutoZone. Everything is free, or something like free zone. Yeah. Forget AutoZone. This is free zone. So
now, I mean, but what are your thoughts about how this is going to end? Where this is going?
I can talk about this for hours. You know, I'm a history teacher. I'm very deep in my roots as far as being a black man in America. I'll say two things, and let me tell you what's sad about one of the things that I'm going to tell you. I'll save that for the end. Is I'll give you the answer when I get done, but not one person has ever answered this question when I argue with them online. Here's my first take is, I'm going to put this online. People get pissed. Marches don't work anymore. The reason why marching worked back in the day is because when they marched, Martin Luther King had them do peaceful protests, they were attacked. That's why peaceful protests work. Because when they were marching, they were getting sprayed with water hoses, attacked by dogs, beaten and killed. They were putting their lives on the line to peaceful protests. It's 2020. Peaceful protests don't work like they used to. The reason why peaceful protests work is because while they were getting sprayed by water hoses and getting bit by dogs, is the news was playing that, and the world was going, "Why are you treating these people like this?" So it put pressure on the government to make changes. That's what happened to the civil rights movement, period. No, it had nothing to do. Do you think a riot would have helped Martin Luther King? How was that going to help? How was a riot helping anything? I know you're releasing frustration, but you're pissing off people that don't even care about you already. So how are you fixing that? You want support from locals, but you tearing down their businesses? So that's the first part. Here's the second part, Adam, and I'm not going to put you on the spot because you're a white man, okay? But listen, and I'll give you the reason why it's going to be hard for you to answer this question. There's two things. Black Lives Matter is the wrong movement. You should say Black Lives Matter too. You understand what I'm saying? Doesn't it sound better?
Yes.
When you say Black Lives Matter, it sounds like other lives don't. Sorry, I blacked out. I mean, Black Lives Matter too is a better movement. That's a movement that I would love to start. Two, say two. Now, here's my question, Adam, and think about it.
No, I think you're right. On that first thing, I think because when it was, because at first I was like, you're right. When they say Black Lives Matter,
it segregates you. It separates. You call it segregation.
Wait, and then you go, "What? My life doesn't matter?" Like, so
exactly.
So, but then when it was explained to me, not to me, but it was explained, and I go, "No, like they're saying, like I think with Nick Cannon was like, just because you saved the whales doesn't mean fuck the other fish. You're just worried about the whales right now, or
if you exactly. Or the house is on fire. Everybody's using the house on fire."
Yeah, or you said my ankle hurts doesn't mean your other bones are okay. It just means right now deal with the ankle. And I go, "Oh, that makes total sense." And you're right, but because Black Lives Matter, it doesn't. Because then you go, "All lives matter." Well,
you got exactly. You got to say Black Lives Matter too.
Right,
because the way society is made, that everybody's got to be equal and equivalent, and you know, we got gay rights. You got to say two. That's all you got to say. That kills the argument.
I agree because I agree with both. I agree that Black Lives Matter. I agree that all lives matter.
And you can say them all.
All lives includes Black people. It's like you're tricking me into agreeing with somebody. I agree with all.
If you say two, it changed the entire wording of the thing. But here's my question, Adam, and this is where every conversation I have online, Twitter, Facebook, every social media site, I ask this question. And not one person has ever been able to answer. Since when did Black Lives Matter in America? We've been here 400 years. Since when did Black lives begin to matter? Think about it. Think about what I'm saying.
Well, I understand what the question is. Now, I have two answers to this.
Yes. Like,
to me personally, they've always mattered. People's lives have mattered, okay? To me personally.
Let me interrupt real quick.
To the ancestors, not of me, because I'm Jewish, and my parents, grandparents came from Russia and Canada. I'm sure there was a systematic racism place as well. But to other people, to people before me, probably when the three-fifths rule got taken away.
No, that was in the 1700s. No, that was not it. Because that was in the 1700s. That didn't last long. That wasn't it. Keep going, though. You're good. I'm with you. I promise.
So when do they matter? They always seem to matter. And look, I mean, depends. I mean, to slave owners, they probably mattered because they wanted the slaves to work. So
they didn't matter. They was throwing them off the boats.
So not them either. I don't know. You're asking me to speak for all people. Hey, I don't know.
No. But let me tell you why this question is so good, okay? And let me give you the answer. Want me to give you the answer?
Sure.
In America, never. Let me tell you why. Now, they have, in a sense, we've earned more rights, and as long as we're looked at as lesser than and have lesser rights to this day. Do you know that in Alabama, in 2019, they just had their first integrated school?
Really?
Now, yes. Yes, for the entire state of Alabama, you can Google it. In Georgia,
they had segregated proms. Wait, was that like on purpose or just happened to be integrated?
Yes, on purpose. It's segregation. They segregate housing in Alabama since it started. You if you go to an all-white neighborhood, they're going to deny your application and give it to a white family. So listen, let me. I don't want to get too far off track. We definitely didn't matter during slavery. There's no way in hell anybody could tell me that we mattered.
No, I know. People are going to say think that quote out of context.
No, I know what you meant. I know what you meant because they were valuable.
Yeah.
They were valuable. But it wasn't their lives that was valuable. It was the body that was valuable. You know what I mean? I could easily replace you. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. I don't think slaves were valuable, mattered to the slave owners. Okay, to anybody that's...
Yeah, they were... No, you were right. You were correct because they mattered. The people matter because they were property, but their lives didn't matter. If you take my kids away from me, if you castrate me, they castrated men. They cut the penises off, and you're raping the women. Your life does not matter to me. You understand what I'm saying? Right. You know that their lives didn't matter. We worked our way up through slavery ending. We got all the way to the '60s. Now, mind you, bro, '60s was not long ago, man. I talked to my mom the other day and was like, "What was it like as a kid?" She said it was bad. Now, the reason why I say our lives have never mattered, yes, we've got equal rights. We cannot settle for less. Our lives matter when we get equality, period. I know life ain't fair. Life sucks. I mean, I know it ain't fair. But until people realize that we do not have it fair in this country, we're arrested 10 times more. We're convicted 10 times harder. We, you know, and people always bring up black-on-black crime. That's a myth. Black-on-black crime is a myth because everybody kills where they live. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know if it's a myth or it's still wrong. I think people say, well, black people kill black people, so therefore white people killing black people is okay. It's like, wait, no. It's all
that. Let me tell you why it's a myth. Everybody kills where they live, Adam. If you, white people, have you ever heard of white on white crime? Never, right? You never heard that term, have you?
No, probably not.
No, because white people kill white people because they live by them.
It's not a myth because if it actually happens, is it a myth? I mean,
no,
the term
is a myth. That if you kill who you live by, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a population thing. You know what I mean? You don't have black on Mexican crime because they don't live by each other. The Mexicans live by Mexicans.
I live in California. There's a lot of black and Mexican people living
here. Yeah, but I'm saying, but in particular, you're gonna have races living by certain races.
You're saying it should be called crime versus
period.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's exactly what I'm saying. Right. It's Americans killing Americans. Period.
Right.
That's all it is. Now to counter that, imagine if there's a terrorist attack and it killed 12 people. Right. Let me show you how we feel when people say black on black crime. Imagine if somebody, a terrorist came over here from overseas, drove a bus into a school and killed 12 kids. And then I go, well, hell, we have Americans killing kids all the time. People be like, whoa, that's insensitive hell, right?
It does devalue people when the people say, oh, 12 people died, 3 Americans, it does devalue the other 9 people. You're like, wait, what about the other 9? What, they don't matter? Their lives don't matter? I totally
exactly. So now, you said it perfect. It's a horrible thing to do to devalue anybody's death. And it's not saying somebody's life is worth anybody else's. But yeah, if these two guys in the neighborhood, they get in a fight and he gets beat to death, that's bad. But when an officer of the law kneels on a man's neck for 8 minutes and he suffocates to death, that's going to be deemed as a more horrible death. You understand what I'm saying?
Of course, because you trust in the police officers. But I do think that 99% of cops are good, or 98%.
I believe 99.5, even higher than that.
Chris Rock had a thing of like, well, the problem is you can't be bad in that thing. It's like a pilot. You can't be like, well, most of our pilots are going to land the flight today. That you can't, American Airlines.
You can't. Yeah. That was perfect.
Yeah. So I totally understand that. I also, though, agree with the fact that I think there's a big class problem and in the U.S. as far
we're
as
like, segregated. We're segregated from birth.
I think it's not necessarily. I mean, it is. There is a race problem. It's like almost like two wars being fought. There's a race war. There's a class war. Because it's not. Look, I've gotten beat up by a cops before. Like
and a political war.
But there. It's a lot of times. It's like when people say white privilege, and then they go, well, look at the people living in trailer parks. And on, $300 a week on welfare, people are saying, well, they have white privilege. And those people are saying, fuck you. I'm living in a fucking trailer park and I'm putting on MTV and I'm watching a rapper make it rain and Mayweather burning $100 bills. And they're saying, and they're saying, wait, what are you talking about? Like, where's my, so I think there's a big class problem.
Definitely a class problem.
There's a race problem. So I think there's this.
Let me piggyback on what you just said, though, because that's everybody's response. Your white privilege, black privilege, all that privilege has nothing to do with your financial situation. Okay? It has nothing to do. Because I'll tell you, anybody that understands black people is poor white people. That's the coolest, tightest. You will very rarely see a poor white person that's racist because they get along so well.
I don't know.
I'm not talking about the rednecks that ain't never.
Some of those Trump rallies.
Talking about them poor little white kids that grew up with black kids.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Here's the thing. Privilege has nothing to do with your upbringing. It has nothing to do with how poor your parents are or your parents beating your ass. None of that. Privilege has to do with the fact that me as a black man, I am a certain number of times more likely to get arrested, a certain number of times more likely to get killed in certain things. That's privilege. I don't know a white man now that says, man, I'm afraid that when I leave my house, the police might accidentally kill my ass. It just don't happen like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm afraid.
But don't you think, though, like, because of that, right, don't you think that goes into, like, because I know that, like, I coach wrestling, and we wrestle against Harvard Westlake, right, which is, like, $60,000 a year to go to for that middle school, right? And don't you think that like the black kids walking around Beverly Hills right now aren't as scared as the black kids in Compton?
No, because I'm gonna tell you why. It has nothing to do with their money. Take that Beverly Hills kid, put him in a car. Let's say the Beverly Hills kid, when we get pulled over, it doesn't matter if you're an NFL player. As long as they don't recognize you, you are a black man. It does not matter. They don't care about Beverly Hills.
I understand that. I hear you. And
that's his surroundings. That has nothing to do with his privilege. He's in a better situation to least likely get in, something bad happen to him. But our skin alone, okay, like this. Think about this. This is the privilege part, Adam. What is going to happen to you because of the color of your skin?
Well,
what fears do you have?
What fears do I have? Well, yes. let's say on a different level, let's talk about in my occupation, right? In the comedy world, right? Because, and I'm going to get shit for this, okay?
But, no, you fine. You being honest.
I'm going to get shit because people are going to be like, oh, boo-hoo-hoo, right? I tried to get I wrote like 5 scripts, right? And I tried to get an agent, and I've been doing comedy for 23 years, and I wanted to get a literary agent. And my manager sent something to this literary company. And this guy who's an agent, who's Indian, or, he's American, but he's Indian, not Native American, emails him back and says, sorry, the marketplace for white males is non-existent right now, right? So, and my manager forwarded me that email.
That's fine. I'm listening.
Okay. So a part of me was like, this is what, now the color of my skin, I'm not getting looked at. And now, do I go, fuck this? Oh, I'm a fucking white male. This is bullshit. I'm going to fucking, so, you know, I'm not going to, because, okay, I'm just going to try harder. And you know what? Anybody that agency that looks at me because of my fucking skin color is not going to represent me, isn't my guy anyway. Fuck that guy. And I'm going to show him that the scripts are fucking great and I can write for something else. I'm not going to let that fucking guy deter me, you know? Or let's say you go to these NACAs, these college conventions, right? For comedians, they have to pick via quota, a white comic, a black comic, a Mexican comic, a girl, a lesbian, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Now I'm in the biggest category, straight white male. So every year you would see the same lesbian Asian girl and the same this one. And then and you're like, she's not the, and her comedy, I hate to say it, wasn't, but I don't give a fuck about that because I'm not using that as an excuse. I don't care. I'm going to work harder and I'm going to work better. And eventually the cream's going to rise. Now that's a very, very small example. Of,
no, that's fine. I understand that's casting and discuss the form of discrimination, but.
I'm not saying, because people are gonna go boo hoo, and I'm gonna go okay, fine, okay. But it is my livelihood of how I make a living. But at the same time, okay, I don't care. This bigger fucking problem, okay. And if this is a way that's gonna help the injustice that was caused by people before me, so be it. Okay, that's it is what it is.
So let me share with you something that's my fears, Adam. Even what you went through with the casting, my fears are, and I'm trying to keep my emotions intact.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to leave my house. I'm not kidding you. I'm afraid to get pulled over. I'm afraid that when I shop, I get followed all the time. Okay. I'm afraid to go jogging. I'm afraid for my son to play in the park. I'm afraid to be sitting in my own house.
Yeah. It's a lot.
I'm afraid to walk down the street and turn the wrong way in the wrong neighborhood.
I get it. It's 10 times worse.
I'm not discrediting what you said, but I'm telling you is a form of why I've seen my people get killed. Tamir Rice was sitting in a park playing with a gun. My kids can't play with guns. I would never let my black son play with a gun. My son was 18, had a toy gun, and I took it away from him. He had a toy BB gun. I'm afraid he'd get killed. You know, I'm afraid to go jogging. Look at Arbery. That's happened to me before. I've been followed before in trucks, cars, honked at. What are you doing in this neighborhood? It's my neighborhood. You understand what I'm saying? I've been pulled over. When I was 16 years old, I was being searched, pat down, beat, all that.
Look, I get that. And that's fucking awful. And something,
and that's something, a good way to put it.
And something needs to change. It's terrible. That is fucking awful. And that should there's not only, be
there's so, only one way to change it. I'm going to tell you how. You can't cure racism. Let me tell you why you can't cure racism. Because racism exists everywhere, no matter where you go. And you said it the best in the beginning. And I wouldn't even just say racism. It's a class thing, too. Because if it ain't race, if you got all white people, it's going to be the poor versus the rich. You know what I'm saying? Then it'll be the straight versus the gay. They're always going to find a way to divide each other. Here's my thing. You can't stop racism. People just, that's always going to be racist, no matter what. If even in Africa, in places where there's all black people, the light-skinned people don't get along with the dark-skinned people. It never ends. But this is how you stop. This is how you fix America, right? And I've been saying this, and I made a post, and people started fussing at me, but then they finally caught on what I was saying. If you can't beat them, you have to join them. Black people have been conditioned to hate the police, to hate the government, all the positions that we need to be in. Yet we complain about it. We need more minority politicians. We need more minority police. We need more minority teachers, coaches. People in powerful and leadership positions that can make decisions for us. We're complaining about the justice system, but don't nobody want to be a judge. Don't nobody want to be a lawyer. Don't nobody want to be sign up for the highway patrol, firefighter. Please, you understand what I'm saying with this?
I think 1,000% agree with you, but I also think there needs to be a retraining for police officers.
You can't train a man. You can't train a man who grew up in an all-white neighborhood his whole life and go to camp for 6 months and learn how to deal with black people. It don't work like that.
Well,
if I had George, he wouldn't be dead right now. I know how to deal with
black people. But I feel like number one, you got to pay cops more money because the best.
Yeah, you get what you pay for, but I'm saying it's also the people that you're hiring. They're scared of black people. You got, hey, now, Adam, you know this. A lot of police officers can't fight. They can't fight. In a street fight, that dude would have whooped that police officer's ass. In plain clothes?
Yeah, of course.
You understand what I'm saying? You got a bunch of dudes that have no wrestling, no jujitsu, no combat experience at all, except for the 6 months of training camp, and then you're going to throw them out here and say, arrest that big old black man. Hell no. I got a taser and a gun? You got to have you got to do minority intervention. You got to bring them in. You also, they need more combat training. I think that all police officers, all officers that have to apprehend people should be at least a blue belt in jujitsu. That's not hard to get.
I agree.
You should be some, I don't care if you're a white belt, but you should, all police officers should have, like you said, they should be paid better. No, your ass has to do jujitsu 2 days a week. That's an hour out of your day that you must check in, and that's part of your pay. We will pay you to do jujitsu. And you know how easy it would be for somebody to you can always tell, Adam, when somebody's been trained. You'd be like, oh, that dude wrestled. You know what I mean?
No, 1,000%.
I'm glad you're doing this, man. I really appreciate you opening up and we're actually going back and forth. We're not disagreeing. We're sharing.
I agree. Man. And I know I'm going to get shit for people about the casting thing. I was just saying that how I've dealt with things based
on... No, that's what you felt. That's discrimination, bro. That shit hurt. When you're stopped from doing something because it's something you can't control, you can't control the children.
No, I know a lot of comedians or agents or actors that like they say to me, oh, this is fucking bullshit. This is not a good time to be a straight white male. This is not a good time to be a straight white male. Oh, fucking... and me, I'm saying, look, dude, get better. Like, okay, yeah. Even if that's... Yeah. Even
you
if
can that, break that. You can. You said it part. You can break that. You can, I'm about to show these. Make them want you. Hey, my phone is going to die, and I do not have a charger. I'm just giving you a heads up.
but even if that's the case, even if that is the case, which I think it's an excuse, if that's the case, then be better to the point where they can't deny you.
Exactly.
And I think that, like, yes.
You don't give up. I'm glad you said that. You do not give up. And I like that. You go out there and you make it happen.
That's the thing. And if that's what I like about sports is that if you're the best guy out there, you're gonna win for the most.
You're gonna win. It don't matter what color you are. Now, even if it's a little bit tougher road, you definitely want to. I don't want to hang up on you. It's gonna die.
It's all right, man. Listen. This has been a great podcast.
Always.
Who do you got this week, Nunez or let's go down the fights real quick.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, because it is a fighting podcast. I don't even know who Nunez is fighting. First of all, what do you think about John Jones stopping vandals on the?
It was smart. I wish I could do something like that, but my wife is too afraid. You know, I'd love to go out there and do the same thing, but I didn't have to. The National Guard was here. I was gonna step in. And actually, one of my friends, he did what I wanted to do, and he got shot with tear gas and plastic bullets, so rubber bullets. It's not the place, you know.
What do you think about Colby Covington getting kicked out of ATT?
I don't know. Wherever he got, I think Colby Covington is an amazing talent. I don't know where he's going to end up. His persona he plays in public is not the real person he is. I look up to the dude, minus him being a dickhead. As a fighter, I love his cardio. I love his technique. Usman was a hell of a matchup. Great fight. Usman just had more power, period. I just hope he ends up somewhere and he keeps up the act. I like it because, man, we're tuning in. If Colby Covington wasn't acting like a dick, I wouldn't watch him. I'm just being super honest.
So Nunez versus Felicia Spencer this week.
Nunez is going to get her, but it ain't going to be easy. That girl can take a damn punch. I think she went 3 rounds with Cyborg. I think that once Nunez figures out she can't knock you out, she kind of plays it safe so she doesn't gas out. So it's going to be an interesting fight, but I don't see her beat Nunez. Nunez is just a monster, man.
Cody Garbrandt versus Asensio.
My heart's with Cody, but my head's with Asensio. Asensio's a monster. He's one of those – what's the dude name that just beat Tyron Woodley? He's like
– Gilbert Burns.
Just a hard-ass fight. Doesn't have a lot of holes at all. Good cardio, good stand-up ground game. You just got to hope you land something on that dude. So,
Aljamain Sterling versus Corey Sanhagen.
Oh, my gosh. Another tough-ass fight. I want to go with Sterling. Sterling's improved a lot since he got knocked out by Morales. So, I'm going with Sterling on that one.
Neil Magny versus Rocco Anthony Rocco Martin.
I'm going to go. I never bet against Magny. The problem with Magny is he can beat Anderson Silva, and he can also lose to Matt Riddle. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, he's a guy that's a capable. I'll tell you one thing about him, though. He gets better every fight. I promise you that. So I'm going Magny.
Sean O'Malley versus Eddie Wineland.
I'm going with Wineland only because I know who he is. That's a pretty neutral fight. That's almost like a sparring match. I'm just being serious. If nobody gets caught, it's going to be a boring-ass decision.
I like O'Malley, but I also like it when they put a guy that, like, they're trying to build versus a guy that they think is on the way down.
I don't think Wineland's going to win. I'm rooting for him. But O'Malley's just, man, O'Malley, I'm sorry. I got to quit with my heart shit. If I was betting, I'd bet on O'Malley.
Bruce Leroy versus Chase Hooper.
Shoot, that's a good one. I'm going with Hooper. I like Leroy, but he's sloppy. I love him. He's a good guy. He got good cardio. I think he's too sloppy. I think O'Malley, I think Hooper's going
to
catch him.
Hooper gets killed, though, when it comes to the feet, though. He looks like he's...
He don't give a shit. Don't matter. So what? So did Royce Gracie. He's going to get him down.
Brian Kelleher versus Cody Stamann.
I go with Stamann. Stamann's a beast.
Yeah. Gerald Meerschaert versus Ian Heinisch.
I got Meerschaert. I like Meerschaert. He's a solid dude.
Yeah, I like him too. Finally, Herbert Burns versus Evan Dunham.
Gosh, man, I hate to say it because you can be proven wrong. I think Dunham's done. I remember when he first came out, he was one of the first, not first generation. He's kind of like a Rich Franklin. He was good at everything, great at nothing. But the times have passed, man. These kids, you got these black belts in here, out here throwing hands. Look at, I think Dunham's time's up. So I think I'll go for the other guy. I don't even know his name. What's his name?
Herbert Burns. Herbert Burns' brother.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go with Burns. It's another buildup, like you said, putting the old school versus new school.
Devin Clark versus Alonzo Menifield. Menifield is a guy that was 9-0, 8 knockouts, grew up in – went to, like, 25 different foster homes, was adopted by a black Christian Nigerian family, played
– Is he one that just knocked somebody out, like, a week ago?
No, it's this different guy. He's got to play college football. Devin Clark's a big dude, though. Huge black dude as well.
I don't know who the hell they are. I just flip a coin on that one. I can't sit here and lie. Shit, whoever's names sound better is I'm picking.
All right. Well, listen, Gerald Harris, it's a pleasure, honor to have you on, man. Stay safe. Thank you for being a great role model and great person.
Yo, thanks for thinking of me, for real, man. You know I'm always down. I'll make time.
Anytime, man. Thank you.
Take care.
Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөр бүлэн та дас тоотан дөр бүлэн мөрөг та